Hey, welcome Hope at Home. Welcome Hope in the building. It's a great Sunday. I love Advent week three, the gift of joy. And we've talked about this before, but you do know the difference between happiness and joy. It's pretty simple. Happiness is based on what happens. External circumstances, happenstance. Whatever's happening at the moment, either we're happy or we're not happy. And then joy, it's really a choice. Joy is something that happens on the inside. Joy is something that we do. Happiness are things that happen. Growing up, we would go to Disneyland. And Disneyland is called the happiest place on earth. We brought our kids to Disneyland and we're so happy, everything's good. And then I realized how much I spent and then I'm not happy anymore. Right? What are you doing like for Christmas? Like you, Christmas, your kids, you know, they love the presents for 5 minutes and then your happiness has to catch up for the next 6 months as you pay for it, right? Happiness is that thing that, you know, we're happy when things are happening good. But it's temporary, right? I wish it would stay all the time. And in life, we really have to make a choice. And when we think about joy, we have to choose joy. And God wants you to really live a joy-filled life. This is what Jesus said when he was here on earth. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy would overflow. Now I read that we're filled with joy if we know the Lord, and that joy will overflow. And yet, have you ever noticed that in life you can spring a leak of joy? Like joy seems to be there. Oh man, I'm in that groove with God and things are good, and then joy kind of goes right out the window. And it seems like it doesn't go out the window just over a long period of time. I mean, it can almost happen immediately. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a society where everyone was full of God's joy? We will. That's heaven. It's not here. I'm so glad to bring you that good news today. There are so many things that are what I would call a joy depleter. Things that deplete our joy. Have you ever thought about, gosh, what is it that just kind of sucks the life, sucks the joy out of me as I'm trying to follow God? And I'm just going to talk about two today that we find in the story of the first Christmas. And the first thing I think, if I could just make a broad brushstroke that takes away our joy, is this: anxiety. When we're stressed out, when we're tense, when we're nervous, when we're afraid, when we're worried, right? Anxiety comes in the front door and joy goes out the back door. I don't know how many times, like, we think about the birth of Christ and how cool that is, and it really is, but have you ever thought about the anxiety and the stress that was on the life of Mary? I mean, she is a young teenager, very young teenager. She's engaged to be married, and then an angel shows up and tells her, hey, there's going to be a virgin birth. What does that mean? Okay, that's great. Try to explain that. You know, here's Mary. Hi, I'm pregnant. Really? But don't worry, it's a virgin birth. Who's the father? Well, it's God. I mean, how do you tell that to your mom and dad? How do you write a birth announcement? Hi, I'm pregnant, but don't worry, I'm a virgin, and thank God it happened because it was God. I mean, then if you think about all of the, it's a little town, it's a single girl, she's pregnant, all of the gossip and then trying to slander God in that way. And it's just like, wait, what? So she really is pregnant. Now let's fast forward 9 months. 3 days before she's going to have this baby, she has to get on a donkey and ride day one, day two, day three. All right. It's a mandatory sentence and census. Let me just ask the women here. How many of you, 3 days before you give birth to your firstborn, would like to say, oh man, let's just get on a donkey and ride? I mean, think about the stress of that. Well, then they finally get to Bethlehem, and you know what I'm going to say. Hey, there's no hotel. There's no motel. They end up in some type of a stable with a bunch of animals. Think about this. That night, a teenage girl who's never been in an intimate relationship with a man, never had a baby, she delivers her own baby. No mom there, no aunts or uncles, no doctor. It's just her and Joseph. And they have to deliver a baby. And don't forget, I mean, talk about the pressures. You're going to have a baby, and you have got to raise a son that's 100% perfect. I'm thinking, talk about a little bit of stress. Talk about a little bit of anxiety. And we see this in the scriptures. In Luke chapter 1, I mean, it just starts right out. Confused and disturbed. Now, isn't there a song kind of like that? What is it? And who sings that? Yeah, we need a believer to reach their hand out over here. Yeah, I mean, think about this. Who wouldn't be? Hey, you're going to have a kid. I don't even know. Okay. And it's from God. And okay, and you're going to be perfect. And so he's just like confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And so would you. Like, what in the world? And, you know, you're favored by God. If that's what favored with God looks like, I'm not sure if I'd want him to be on the other end of that. I mean, it's just wild. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. I mean, that's the good part. How many of you have, like, had a baby, and you're like, okay, let's think of a name. And then you come up with the perfect name, and your spouse's like, no, I hated that guy in elementary school. He made fun of me. Or, you know, I mean, names are hard. This is just easy. Kids called Jesus. Boom. Okay, we're good. And then, I mean, this is just so, so important. For the word of God will never fail. The angel says, if God says this, it's going to happen because God's word doesn't fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I don't know what you're anxious about today, but I can think of a lot of things that we can all be anxious about. Except gas prices. I mean, I'm super thankful they're dropping. But other than gas prices, there are a lot of things that can make us anxious. And what did Mary do? I mean, this is like a 13 or 14-year-old. Having a kid from the Holy Spirit and all of that, what did she do? And this had to have been a stressful time. She chose to trust the Lord anyway. And she said, I'm going to accept God's plan, even though I don't understand it. Remember what Jesus said? When you obey my commands, I have told you that you'll be filled with joy and your joy will be complete. I don't begin today to understand all of the stress that we're all going through, or if you have any stress. But I do want to tell you the antidote to that is to learn a lesson here from Mary. You and I have to trust God more than just singing about it on a Sunday or listening on a Sunday. We literally have to trust God, and there's times in life where it's just beyond us. And this was definitely beyond Mary, that is for sure. But she leaned in and she trust God and she said, I'm the Lord's servant. Bottom line, whatever he says, I'm in. Because everything you're worried about, everything that's causing that anxiety, that stress, if we truly are following the Lord's plan and give it back to him, Jesus said, I'm going to help you. You don't have to do this on your own. And this is exactly what worked the very first Christmas. Now, there's a second thing, and we find this in the Christmas story as well. There's a second thing that robs us of our joy. And the second thing that steals our joy, the thing that steals joy in your life is resentment over hurts. You know what resentment is? It comes from being hurt. And unfortunately, everyone in this room, you've been wounded. You've been hurt by somebody. You know, this is a broken world. Life isn't fair. And thankfully, God never set us up and said, hey, no, life is going to be fair. I mean, you hate it and I hate it, but our world's full of sin. And because of our rebelliousness and our callousness towards the things of God, we're hurt. And we hurt people. And sometimes we do it intentionally, and sometimes we don't do it intentionally, but it just happens. Problem is, you can't be resentful and joyful at the same time. And it's hard when we get hurt. Just think for a moment about Joseph. He's engaged. And it's not like now. His engagement was literally, we are 100% committed and married. We just have not sanctified that marriage before the Lord. I mean, it's like very serious. And his wife-to-be, the woman who he loves, comes over and says, hey, honey, how you doing? Me too. I've got good news. I'm pregnant. Now, some people understand how hard that can be. And you've been betrayed. How do you think Joseph felt? Have I not treated you well? Have I not been honorable? You cheated on me. He was absolutely heartbroken. Have you ever thought about this? An angel speaks to Mary. Why couldn't they have had them both together? And why couldn't they both have been together and the angel says, hey, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Don't worry, Joseph. It's God. I mean, Joseph wouldn't even had to have gone through this. And God didn't tell them together. And God did it intentionally. You say, wow, it seems kind of hard. Well, it's not, because he's testing Joseph's character. He wants to see if he's going to have compassion. He wants to see if he's going to be forgiving. He wants to see if he really is a godly man. And amazingly, Joseph doesn't fly off the handle, and he tries to offer grace. In the midst of being told by the love of his life, his fiance, the one that he is 100% committed to, hey, I'm pregnant. Listen to what the scripture says. And I love how, this is so real and so raw. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he decides to break the engagement quietly. I mean, he doesn't rub it in. He doesn't beat her up. He doesn't publicly embarrass her. He doesn't, even though he could have, he doesn't shame her. He says, you know what? I hate this, but I'm going to offer grace, and quietly, I'm going to do the best I can, and I'm going to let her, the best she can, still keep her dignity. I mean, this is huge. And at that moment is when the angel speaks to him. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, as he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, right? That was like 700 years earlier is what this is talking about. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Notice now the response of Joseph, because it's so important. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Remember, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands and live in the love of the Father. And if you do that, in spite of circumstances, you're going to be able to find joy. Now, I can tell you, when you look at these two, talk about stress. Talk about betrayal. Talk about it just being tough. Let me ask you a question. Who has hurt you deeply? I wrote this in my notes. I immediately want to say I'm sorry. And here's why. You didn't blink before that person came to your mind. You didn't have to blink. You know who's hurt you. You know who's betrayed you. You know the person who has caused so much hurt in your life. You already know that. And I want to say sorry. Because so many things in life are not fair. And so then we have to ask the question, is that hurt, resent, and because of that resent, is it possible that even this Christmas, that the joy you could have is depleted? That joy you could be living in is just a lot less. If you're hanging on to hurt, it's a big reason you're not joyful, because you cannot be resentful and joyful at the same time. Resentment never changes the past, it just amplifies it. Now, let me just pause for a moment and say, there are things that have happened in life that you know and I know that should never have happened, and you can't change it, and even the fact that you think of it, it feels like it's just right there, that real again. And I'm not saying that we accept everything that's happened, but I'm saying that you and I have to make a choice. Are you going to live there? Or are you going to do something about it? You say, I don't know what I can do about it. Let's talk about that in just a moment. But remember Joseph? He passed a character test with the Lord. And then the Lord blessed him. He became the privileged one to raise the Son of God, to raise the Messiah. He was the one who was the stepdad to the Savior of the world. But oh, was he ever tested? And it's hard. It's even hard to show the love of God when we know it's the right thing to do when we've been wronged. Sometimes we're like, I have a right to be hurt. I have a right to be resentful. You do. But unfortunately, what comes with that is also the right to be miserable. Right? I mean, Jesus, he had a right. He had a right to wipe out everybody who was against him because he's the Son of God and literally did not do anything wrong, but was wrongly accused, wrongly beaten, wrongly hung on a cross. But he chose in the midst of all of that hurt to pray a prayer for the people who hurt him. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They knew what they were doing. They crucified Jesus. It's not that. They didn't understand the magnitude of what they did. This is God's Son that he just hung on the cross. I've been hurt by people, and I was thinking this morning as I was reading my notes, I'm still mad at somebody. And I had to be honest with that and say, Lord, what good has that done for me? I can tell you what good. None. But sometimes when we're hurt and wrongly hurt, we want somehow to be justified. We want somebody to say, I'm sorry for what I've done, but some of those people are dead. Some of those people have moved away. Some of those people would never even acknowledge what they did. And yet as I pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive me. As I also forgive. That's a part of the Lord's Prayer I don't really like. I mean, I like, you know, our Father in heaven, holy are you, got it. I like to have your way. I like to give me, you know, what I need, my daily bread, it's all good. Then the forgive me as I forgive, I'm like, yeah. How about tell them to say they're sorry? Why is that not in the Lord's Prayer? I'll tell you why. Because forgiveness has nothing to do with the person that hurt you. That's reconciliation. You are reconciled to somebody when they own up to what they've done. Forgiveness has everything to do with you, whether or not somebody ever says they're sorry. The big difference. I can forgive somebody who's never said they're sorry. Now to have a restored relationship, totally different. Totally different. God doesn't say that every relationship's going to work out. God doesn't say that everyone's going to come back and say they're sorry when they should. But he told Peter, you need to forgive. Well, how many times? Seven? No, 70 times seven. Why, Peter? Because being resentful steals your joy. When you don't deal with your hurt deals with you. Mary made a choice. I'm going to trust God and his plan. All the way to the cross when she watched her son die. Joseph had to trust, even though everybody knew they weren't married, and they had to carry that shame. Joseph had to carry the shame of dishonoring Mary. He had to listen to the gossip. He had to have his friend say to him, "Dude, you should dump her." None of that made sense. But he made a choice. And even though he was hurt by Mary and didn't understand it, and I don't even know how you can understand it, he then walked in the blessings of God. Here's just a thought for you. Are you kind of this Christmas just going through the motions? Are you joyful, like really on the inside, or just kind of wanting to get through? It's unfortunate, right, that we can lose our joy. I mean, like, there are these things that deplete us. And I'm only talking about two, and I could talk about a whole lot more in this Christmas story. But I promised the nursery workers I would only talk this morning for 2 hours. You should have seen them. Jesus, take the wheel. You know, and I know what we do. It's easy to do when you lose your joy, when you're not very happy. You just kind of shove it down. Just kind of push it down, right? And we don't really want to say anything. We just kind of do. But then we're undone. And that's a choice. And there's not enough Christmas gifts that are going to keep you happy for the long time, you know, the long haul. Right? Those of you who are parents, how many of the presents that you bought your kids last year are they still playing with? It doesn't matter to us. We're just going to keep buying things for the grandkids. You can throw it away the next day. There's more coming. But inside, what's going on? Here's the only way I know how to live a life of joy as God intended. It's to not live for the moment. It's to literally put your life in God's hands and say, "Come what may, I'm going to trust you. You created me. This life is unfair. This life is hard. I've hurt people I didn't mean to, and people have hurt me that they didn't mean to, and some who meant to. And I think the best way for you and I to regain our joy, the antidote to our pain, and that is not easy, but it's making a choice. Sometimes it's daily, sometimes it's moment by moment, by moment by moment, that we say this: I'm going to obey your commands, and I'm going to remain in your love. God, I'm going to give this to you, because I don't have any choice. I'm tired of feeling miserable. I'm tired that my joy is gone and there's not enough things in this world that are going to make me happy. Thank you for pinching that baby just to amplify what I'm saying here. Jesus said, if you'll lean into me and lean into the love I have for you, because I died for you. I love Christmas. Absolutely love it. But it always leads me to Easter. Because Christmas is the great day. Easter is why I get to be here. Obey my commands. Remain in my love. Jesus says, just like I did. I obeyed the Father's command all the way to the cross. I remained in his love. Even when I felt like he abandoned me, the only time in Scripture he doesn't address the Father as Father, my God, why have even you forsaken me? I mean, that's low. That's hard. He says, I've told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And our joy needs to overflow because there are depleters that cause the joy to leak out of us. Last question. Is there something that's just causing you stress today? And fear and anxiety? Well, my recommendation is to get a hood like this. No, I'm kidding. That's just not gonna work. Other than make me look cool. But what is that thing that you're just like, you know, I've tried to give this to the Lord and I just take it back. And then your joy is depleted. Is it time to maybe let go of that hurt and the resentment? I mean, if you've like camped there for 30 years and nothing's changed, truly nothing's going to change. But you and the choice of where you choose to focus. I want to pray a prayer. Maybe you could pray this with me. And basically, I'm going to pray, Lord, we don't want to live a joyless life. But will you help us with the things that just cause us anxiety, the things that cause us to be stressed out? Would you help us how to handle the hurt and not live there? Learn from it, forgive, even though somebody's never said they're sorry, and understand, well, maybe we'll never have a relationship again, and that's okay. But I've got to get a plug in that place where my joy seeps out, because when our joy is gone, life is hard, and life's already hard. That's why Jesus said, let me fill you and let it overflow. So sometimes when it spills out, you're still going to be receiving that strength that comes from following me. All right, let's pray together. Maybe you can just in your mind say, okay, I'll pray this with you, Pastor Jim. God, we don't want to live joyless lives. We have anxiety, we have hurt, we have resentment. There are those things and other things that have just like a thief stolen our joy. God, this Christmas, we pray that you would help us from heaven. We're so thankful for Jesus that he's come as our Savior, but we need to choose you and to live in your commands and then accept him not only as our Savior, but the strength that we don't possess ourselves. We choose to accept you and your plan for our lives. God, I pray right now, not only that you would be our Savior, but you would be our strength. And I want to pray for you. Just keep your eyes closed. But if you say, Pastor Jim, I'm hearing what you're saying in my heart, and I'm asking you to pray that God will give me strength, would you just raise your hand so I can see it? Okay. Man, I love y'all so much. Thank you. God, I pray for these friends. Humbly, I ask that you would give them the strength they need to trust you with the stress, to give you the hurt. Lord, for the purpose that we might live as you intended, that we might live in such a way that your joy overflows in our lives, especially in the times when it's hard. God, help us. Help us, we humbly pray. Bless these friends, Lord. Bless them so much. Give them your strength, Lord. May your face radiate about them. Give them peace that comes from you and that joy that is from the inside. And then the things that happen don't matter as much. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, on your way out, there's a table set up. And I take these and I put them in the mailboxes in my neighborhood. I just want people to know that there's a place where they can receive God's strength and help called Hope Church. And so take one of those and invite somebody even to come back next week. God bless you as you go.